How's everybody doing today? Happy Father's Day. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. This side of heaven, of course. But again, happy Father's Day. Listen, I know some of you have seen it, but we are not opening a pizza shop, but we do have some gifts for some of the men in the room. If you're 18 or older and you're a man in this room, we have a gift for you as you leave today just to say thank you and happy Father's Day, not only to the fathers in the room, but to the men. We value men here at Bridge City Church. We're going to talk about that a lot today. Ladies, I don't want you to check out because you're very important today as well, and you'll hear why. But the gift that we have is actually a pepperoni roll. How many of you have ever had a pepperoni roll from Sunseri's in the Strip District?
Yeah.
Yeah? They're pretty good. Some of you actually stayed from the first worship experience because you think you're going to get another one, but that is actually not true. Well, you might. We'll see. But I'm actually going to have a little bit. Anybody want to sample one?
Yes.
Anybody want to sample one?
Yes.
Let's see. I might get a couple people. Let's see. JR, what? Come on up, man. Let's break bread. Come on. Let's break bread. Come on. Let's break bread. Come on.
Don't fall down.
Here. Let's break bread. Come on. This is a pepperoni. This is a pepperoni roll. We're gonna break bread. We're going to break bread. We don't have marinara sauce, but we would have... Come on, take a piece, man. Right, these right, guys right, are like... Right, right. Come on, bro. Take a piece. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, take a piece. Let's all break bread. We've been joking all week. There's a saying, Maranatha, come Jesus. Oh, come Jesus, come. But I've been saying marinara all week. I need some marinara. Here we go. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Bruce, my man Bruce back there, he had some earlier, and Bruce actually shared a story with me that made me weep, because we're going to talk about today sharing and passing on the things of manhood, and courageous faith takes passing on pillars in faith. And it's not just about being a dad. It's about being a man of faith. And Bruce, he didn't even know that he was going to become a part of the message today. But he was sitting in the back, and his son was sitting on his lap, and he looked right at me, and he said, Ty gave his first tithe today. And he passed that on to his son. And Bruce and his wife Hannah are very generous. They're very faithful, and they're very, very honoring with their finances. And Bruce was able to pass that on now to his son, and Hannah was able now to pass that on. And Bruce, that's something that was created with him early on in his walk and early on in his faith, and I got to see that in him. And it was because God proved himself as a provider early on in Bruce's walk. Because Bruce, a few weeks before his marriage, didn't have a job. I'll never forget, Bruce was getting ready to get married, and Bruce was not going to not get married, because Bruce and Hannah went to college together. They lived in the same dorm building, not in the same dorm room, the same building. I'll never forget when Bruce read the Bible for the first time. He called me and quoted scripture. He said, "We're moving the wedding date up." I said, "Why, Bruce?" He said, "Because I can't wait any longer." I said, "Why, Bruce?" He said, "I can't wait." And the Bible says, if the man can't wait, he should get married. I said, "Read the next verse, Bruce." He said, the next verse says, if he can't wait, he will be blessed. I don't like that verse. A few days before Bruce's wedding, he got a job offer. Okay? And Bruce found out that God is a provider, and God will always provide, and Bruce has always honored God with his finances, and he's now passing that on to his son. I didn't bite that. I've been ripping it. If you're not going to eat it, I'll eat it. He passed that on. And now Tiberius is going to pass that on to his sons and the men around him. Why am I telling you this? Because we all have an assignment from God. We all have to pass the things on that God has given us to others. And it takes courageous faith. It takes an ability for us to recognize. Pepperoni roll got stuck on my chain and then it got stuck on my mic, but it's important for us to recognize that the assignment from God is going to take courageous faith. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have today to honor men, to honor the fathers in our lives, natural fathers, spiritual fathers, and you as God the Father. Lord, may we move forward in the assignment that you've given us. May we understand how important it is. And may we understand that even though there's fear and obstacles, that you will help us through every step of the way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm going to start with a quote today, and it's from John Maxwell, and it says, "Fear is the price that you pay for making progress." I look around the room, and there's men in here that have invested so much in my life. And I think about the nights that they may have laid awake in fear. But I also think about the progress that they made for me so that I could succeed. I think about the young men that are in this room that own businesses or are starting businesses and the fear that they're walking in, but the progress they've already made. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that there's going to be fear attached to it, but if we walk through it with other men and other people in our lives, we'll make progress. If we're open, if we're honest, if we're not somebody that's going to hold back, we'll make progress. Fear only holds you back if you allow it to keep you stuck. At Bridge City Church, we believe in strong and courageous men. We believe in that. We don't hold back in saying that. Our culture, when I say the culture, I talk about the world, is blatantly against and attacking men. The culture doesn't hold back. The deck is stacked against us. The culture says that we should apologize for manhood. I'm not going to hold back for honoring strong men and honoring the manhood at Bridge City Church. For us following Jesus and the example that he has given us, that we should represent him. We have a role model as men to follow. We have a role model on how we should treat our wife and our family and the world around us. The integrity that we should walk in. The way that we should speak. The way that we should impart our lives to others. And this isn't just at church. This isn't just when others are watching. This is all the time. This isn't just Sundays or at Connection Group. This is at Aldi or Walmart, not just the nice ones. This is all of them. It's a Giant Eagle or any other establishment that you go to. Yes, Target too. Every month. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Be watchful, stay awake, be vigilant, stand firm. persevere. Be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong, live by love. That's one of those verses you put on a card and you leave it in your car. You look at it all the time. I love, there's a family that I know, every time their kids would leave the house, they would tell them to return with honor. When you're leaving, return with honor. Remember who you represent. Lennon hasn't left the house yet by himself, but I'm thinking about it. I'm letting that run through my brain. Return with honor. I like that. You're leaving with it, come back with it. The men at Bridge City Church will demonstrate courageous faith by rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, acting courageously, and expecting the greater reward. These are the pillars of manhood. Ladies, I don't want you to check out during this message because we get to support the men in this church. You get to stand with the men in this church. And when you see them doing this, give them that a boy. I remember when Rachel and I first got married. I don't do it anymore because, for the last 3.5 years, I hadn't been able to. When I used to take the garbage out or cut the grass or do those things, I just have to swallow this last bite of pepperoni roll. I've been waiting. I've been trying to be respectful, but all right, there we go. I feel bad that you guys all don't have them, but you'll get them when you leave. You wouldn't pay attention to me at all if you had them right now. They're delicious. They also sell another one with hot peppers in it. Go down there. They're really good. But I just would take the garbage out, and I'd come back in, and I'd wait for Rachel just to, like, pat me on the head and say, good job. When you see guys walking these out, just let them know. These are the pillars of our church. Pillars hold things up. There's men that have gone before you that are holding things up. There's men that are coming behind you that are holding things up. Why do we keep these four pillars and uphold them? It's simple. Not because we're stupid, but we like things simple. There's things in our world that have gone mad. These are clear, they're concise, and they're easy to follow. But it's hard to stay on track sometimes. Man, it seems at times that we're faced with immeasurable, insurmountable tasks. But God's with us. Let's look at Joshua. How did he reject passivity? Joshua 2, 23 through 24. Then the two spies came down from the hill country and crossed the Jordan River and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said. For all the people in the land were terrified of us. They are terrified of us. Guys, how would we fight and how would we go into war knowing how terrified our enemy is of us? How would we fight if we knew that every victory was ours already? Think about it. If you're going into a game or a war or a battle of any kind, how would you go into that battle knowing that you're already going to win? You know, Matt, what, Coach Dad in our video, coaching extraordinaire up here. He coaches soccer, a sport that I played, you know, when I was a tiny kicker. I think that's what they called it at the YMCA. I was a goalie just because I didn't want to do anything else. But imagine what it would be like if you went into every game knowing that you're going to win. I talked to Matt about soccer this week. I found out that soccer coaches don't use whistles. That's weird, isn't it? That's weird. But how would it be being a coach if you knew that you were going to win every single game? It'd be hard to get people motivated, but it would also be really fun.
Yep.
Hampton, your dad was a football coach. He was one of my football coaches. I remember your dad was a huge, huge man, is a huge man. Saw him in the weight room one time motivating us. He had a whistle. He didn't need it, but he had one. We were really good. But he made us feel like we weren't because we needed that motivation. We needed that. But guys, I'm going to let you know today, you are victorious and the enemy knows it. The devil knows that you are going to win, and he hates the fact that if you actually knew who you are, you're trouble. If you actually would walk in your true identity as a man, you're trouble for the world around you. Your family would change. Your home would change. Your community would change. Your workplace would change if you really knew who you are and you walked in it. Think about the greatest athletes in the world. They don't do it by themselves. They have a team of people around them that tell them what to eat, when to sleep, how to train. And they're fighting all day, every day for what they are. They're a literal war. And they're the aggressors for their sport and for their trade. Joshua and his men were the aggressors, and they chose to start the war. How do we apply this to our lives as men, as fathers? We have to be courageous in every area of our lives. We have to love our wives. We have to love our children. As men, we have to love our community. We have to love our workplace. We have to love the people around us. Even as young men, or you may not be a father yet, love the people around you. Walk with integrity and honesty. The devil's defeated. No weapon against us shall prosper, but we still need to fight. Think of Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. I said it. I'll die on that hill. He is. Okay. Who is it? Dan Marino? It ain't Bradshaw. Deflategate. He could have threw a ball with no air in it. He's still the greatest quarterback of all time. All right, Montana. We'll put him up there. Montana was pretty good. He still had to show up to the games. That's my point. Everybody still had to show up. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, he still had to show up. You're victorious, but you still got to show up to the game. You still have to fight. We're the aggressors in the war. We still have to show up. But here's the thing, guys. Here's the problem. Why don't we actively engage in the war? Why aren't we actively engaging in our families? Why aren't we actively engaging in our church, in our communities, in our homes, in our children's lives? And when I say our children, I mean even the children of the church. You may not be a dad. There are men in this church that have impacted my life and they've never had children of their own. We don't actively engage, and here's why. It's a scheme of the enemy to get us not to fight because he knows that if we do, we will win because we've already won because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We leave it up to mom. We leave it up to the school. We leave it up to the coach. I want the children of our church, the children of our families, to look up to the dads, the men in their life, and the women in their life because we are engaged. But here's the reason why we don't, men, and I'm telling you, because I've been there and I fight the same things you fight. We feel inadequate. We feel like we can't do it. We feel less than sometimes because we allow for the lies of the enemy to creep in and take hold. But I'm here today to tell you that you can do it. You can do it. How do I know? Because I've seen it done. And fear is the price that you pay for progress. And you need other men that have done it to surround you and sometimes push you forward, sometimes pull you forward. But no matter what, they're with you. And there's a war, and the promises of God will be attained. Men, we need to declare war and choose to fight and choose to reject passivity. Men at Bridge City Church will demonstrate courageous faith by rejecting passivity. Everybody always looks at the pastor when the baby starts crying. Like, what's he going to do? What is he going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. That is the best sound that church can ever have. It will always be the best sound a church could ever have. I love that sound. I will cherish that sound. My son ran up here one time and just said, "Hi, Dad." You know why? Because he escaped the children's room, got past two ushers. I don't know how he did it. Unlocked the door. It's the best sound a church could ever have. You know why? Because that is life and that is growth. And that is our best growth plan. We'll continue to grow the church that way. Amen. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? The only time I will stop a worship experience is if, like, grown people start crying like that. We will reject passivity. We will accept responsibility. Joshua 3, 1 through 2. Early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left the Acacia Grove and arrived in the banks of the Jordan River where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp. Verses 3 and 4, giving the instructions to the people, when the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. If you notice in verse 4, underlined, it says, you have never traveled this way before. You know, there's always going to be fear attached to the things that God calls you to do. There's always going to be ways that you walk that you've never gone before. And it's going to cause fear. There's always going to be things that God asks us to do that we've never done before. You know, I have a file on my computer that I can click on. It just reminds me of why I do this. And it's like text messages or files or, you know, documents that people have sent me or stories that I'll write down, like journal entries. And recently there was a young man that sent me a message after he got baptized. And he said, like a year ago, I started attending the church, and there were men in my life that didn't just tell me what to do, didn't just preach to me, but they modeled every single thing. This is all new to me, but they showed it to me day in and day out how to live my life. And I'm a changed man because of it. He had never gone this way before. I know the first time he walked in here, he was afraid. But because of the men in this church that befriended him and are now walking with him and encouraging him and equipping him and empowering him, his life changed. And then he sent me a picture of him getting baptized. Because of the men in this church and the ladies in this church that go alongside people in their faith walk, we're able to demonstrate things. How we love our wives, how we love our children, how we treat people, how we show honor and respect, how we demonstrate purity and holiness, how we show faithfulness in our workplace, how we accept responsibility is to be under authority and being able to follow. I love being under authority. People think, well, as a man, how do you love that? Being under authority is great because if I mess up, I get to point up. I mean, I didn't mess up by myself. That's great. Matt's an elder in the church. If I mess up, he messes up with me. Say yes and amen, Matt. We're in this together. There's a lot of things that in my personal life I don't need permission to do, but I want a blessing. I want a blessing. I want a fatherly blessing in my life because there's blessing follows blessings. My natural father passed away. I don't get to call him and say, hey, Dad, but I get to call a lot of people. I have a lot of spiritual dads in my life, a lot. Now, I know which ones to call at certain times. If I want, you know, like really encouraged, I know which one to call. If I want really challenged, I know which one to call. If I want a really sweet answer, I know which one to call. I'm serious. If I want something fixed, I know which one to call. I got a guy for everything. But listen, men who struggle to follow and submit to godly authority, they forfeit all of those things. They forfeit them. They forfeit that game, that part of the victory. The best men of God, the best husbands, the best fathers are the best followers. I'll point that out in every area of life. Think of sports. When franchises and dynasties started to fall apart, it's because they stopped following the leadership of the team. I'll point it out every single time. If you can't follow, things fall apart. We are guiding not only our families, but the generations behind us. Men at Bridge City Church will demonstrate courageous faith by rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, and acting courageously. Here we go, verses 9 through 11. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, all the ites, every bit of all the ites ahead of you, look at the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, and will lead you across the Jordan River. Come and listen. It's not your strength. It's not how good you are, but you need to know the living God. Joshua was letting them know it's not about you. It's about who you know. Listen, I'm a little bit old school. Like, I identify as a baby boomer. You're allowed to laugh at that. That was funny. That was a joke. That was funny. I'm old school. Yeah, I'm a little older than I actually am. That was funny. That was funny. That was funny to me as a baby boomer. Can we laugh a little bit? This part's funny. See, when you point out something that was funny that actually wasn't funny. Okay. Did you guys already eat your pepperoni rolls or something? Like, are you sleepy? All right, I'm a millennial. Okay. That's funny. I don't even know the generations, like what they are anymore. There's too many of them. But anyways, I like having a guy for everything. I pride myself in having a guy for everything. I always tell people, call me, I have a guy. I have a guy for that. I have a guy for that. If you need something, I have a guy for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little old school in that. So the one time I actually like needed one of my guys, it was a plumber. He was in Italy. And my main backed up in my basement. It was a whole thing. I had to go to Walmart at like 3 a.m. I had to buy bleach and scrub brushes. And then I actually needed gloves. And I needed a rope for an illustration that I was preaching on Sunday. And the Walmart guy was ringing me out. And he looked at me. He's like, where's the shovel? Looked like I was getting rid of a body at 3 a.m. Dead serious. But I pride myself in having a guy. And whenever you have a guy for stuff, like if you have this guy, you always take care of them. Like if you have a car guy and he helps you with stuff, you know, you stop by, you drop off a pizza or a hoagie every once in a while, or you take care of them, right? Am I right? Old school people in the room, all right? Right, Dawn? You take care of him. He's my body guy now. If I have a dent in my car, I go there. He helps me out. Rachel's car was messed up. He fixed it. I didn't even ask him. He made me bring it over. He threatened me because I let his daughter borrow my car, Rachel's car, because she was away. I got a guy by accident. You always take care of those people, though. God should be your guy. Are you taking care of him? Are you reading? Are you worshiping? Are you spending time with him? Guys, he's your guy. You need to live because you know him. He's your guy. Are you listening to him? Are you spending time with him? Are you feeding your relationship with him? Are you worshiping? Are you reading the word? Are you praying? Are you spending time with him? Are you making sure you're in good terms with him? Are you feeding your faith? Are you letting others know that he's your guy? He's my guy. Because when I got a guy, I let everybody else knows about my guy. I got a really good plumber. A great plumber. He loves Jesus. I got two great plumbers that love Jesus. One won't leave Monroeville. The other one will go everywhere. I'd give him a plug right now, but he'd probably be mad at me if I did. It'd be cheesy anyways. Now that was funny. Let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant. What is it? What did it represent? You know, we're talking about God being our guy. The Ark of the Covenant was a representation of the character of God. It's a representation of the mercy of God, the atonement, God's love, His grace. It represented the covenant of God, His agreement with us, His presence. It represents us to be right with God and to be in alignment with His word and His presence. To be under authority and obedient. The Ark of the Covenant brings us courage. May the covenant that we have with God as men allow us to follow God courageously. May it remind us constantly that God is with us and that His promises are leading us. In the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of the adversity that we have as men, that we can conquer them all with courage because of who He is. So why is this important in our normal everyday lives? Because in our normal everyday lives, we have fear. We hear lies as men. I don't have what it takes. I can't endure. I can't follow. My past will and always has hindered me. But the covenant I have with God is what's leading me now. I will face my opposition and get over it because of the victory that I have. We will fight the war that God has called us to fight together, and we will be victorious. God is a covenant God that is leading us together as men, unified as a church to follow Him. The giants are afraid of us. But when we choose to do it on our own, or go our own way, or come out from God's authority, His presence, His direction, His protection, the enemy loves that. He loves it. Because it's really easy for him to pick us off one by one. I've seen it happen. We're united and unified. We're strong. Joshua 3:13, the priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream. The river will stand up like a wall. Joshua declares beforehand that they will be about to see a miracle. They're going to see a miracle take place. God did exactly what He said He would do. Men at Bridge City Church will demonstrate courageous faith by rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, and acting courageously. Billy Graham said that courage is contagious when a brave man takes a stand. The spines of others often stiffened. Joshua 4, 4 through 5. This is us expecting the greater reward. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of them, you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. You will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them they remind us of what the Jordan River stopped flowing and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. You know, I expect the greater reward for not only the men of our church, but for all of us. You know, there are so many things that we can point back to and say, look what God did. Look what God did. Memorials, if you will. But I'm expecting the greater reward for many years down the line because of what God's doing even right now in Bridge City Church. I want our children to be able to look back to 2023 and think, wow, look at what they did. I want to take a moment right now and honor a man within our church that always expected the greater reward. Chuck Quinter was one of the founding members of Bridge City Church. Went home to be with Jesus. If you asked Chuck how he was doing, he would always say, excellent. Chuck served until he couldn't serve any longer. I always served with him at the food bank at North Braddock, and he would pull up at the end of the food bank sometimes just so he could cut boxes and build boxes. He had his utility belt on his hip. How you doing, Chuck? Excellent. Pastor Keith, our founding pastor of Bridge City Church, had to actually go to Chuck and say, Chuck, how are you giving so much money? He was worried Chuck had a money issue or he was doing something he didn't know about because Chuck gave so much. Chuck looked Pastor Keith in the eye and said, I lived many years not honoring God. I feel as though I should give retroactively for all those years. He gave a tithe for all the years that he didn't give. How do you respond to that as a pastor? Like, you want to preach a message? You want to? But that's who Chuck was. Men of the church. We have a lineage to carry on. Chuck's wife, Dee, she went home to be with Jesus a few years before Chuck did. I'll never forget, she would always stand at the top of the steps to greet people. Even when she started having some early onset signs of Alzheimer's, she would still greet people. People that were born into the church, she would greet them as if it was their first time. I'll never forget Rebecca Benedetti. She was born into the church pretty much. Dee welcomed her like it was her first time. And Rebecca looked at her like, hi, Dee, thank you. That was just their heart. We get to carry this on as the church now. We get to remind God's people of God's covenant and God's promises, and we get to demonstrate that to the world around us. not just by piling stones up. But we get to demonstrate that there's one true God. By passing on the stories of Chuck and Dee Quinter. By passing on the stories about Bruce and Hannah Powell and the first Sunday that Tiberius tithed. I don't even know how Tiberius earned the money. I don't know if he's going to report it, but it's under 500, so I hope. I don't know. Unless he, was it under 500 bucks, or is he going to have to fill out a 1099? But church, this is 2 Timothy 2:2 stuff. I don't have any stones to start piling up, but we get to tell this stuff to our kids. This is how God showed up. This is what he did in my life. This is what he did in your grandfather's life or your cousin's lives, your neighbor. This is what we get to do. We get to point to Joshua. Joshua said it would happen, and it did. God showed up. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Specifically, the men in the room right now. God's looking for dangerous men. Men that will stand up, men that will be courageous, men that will reject passivity, men that will accept responsibility, men that will act courageously, and men that will accept the greater reward. And God's looking for ladies that will support that and encourage that and empower that. God's looking for a church that will point to him and remember the covenant that was made. God's looking for a church that will tell the story of how great he is and pass it on to others. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who we get to be because of you. I thank you that we are victorious and that the enemy's scared because he knows it. He knows that we can't lose because you've never lost. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. Let's worship, church.